short while, it'll be said, start your engines. And then the 100th running of what has been billed the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500, will be underway. I've come to talk to us today about a greater race than that, and that is the race that is set before us. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Several things I want to point out to you about this race. I begin by suggesting to us that this race is open to all. There are a lot of races that you and I will not be invited to participate in. Did you receive an invitation to run in the Indianapolis 500? Probably not. You can't just hop in your vehicle and run down there and race around the track and expect to receive the prize. But yet the race that is set before us is a race that is open to all. Jesus, the great inviter, has invited you to participate in this race. In Matthew 11, in verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, who? All. You might circle that word, all. Ye that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's the greatest invitation. It comes from the greatest inviter. It involves the greatest group of people, all. And it offers the greatest blessing. And that is the rest the Lord provides. When the Lord commissioned his apostles, in Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, go ye therefore and teach. Teach who? All nations. My circle of the word all. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you unto the end of the world. And then when you come to Mark's account, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he said, go ye, go where? Into just some parts of the world? Just go into North America. No, that's not what he said. Just go into Europe. No, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. When Paul wrote Titus in chapter 2 and verse 11, he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? Just a select few? No, the Bible says, to all men. That includes you and me. And the book of God closes with the greatest invitation of all in Revelation 22 and in verse 17. When the Spirit and the bride say come, and let him that heareth say come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And so I want you to be impressed with the fact that the race that is set before us is open to all. Whosoever will may enter and take part in the race set before us. The second thing I want to point out to us is the fact that one must enter the race. It's not enough for one to just have heard about it. It's not enough to have just thought about it or to have talked about entering the race. But if you're going to expect to receive the prize, you've got to enter the race. Would you expect to receive the prize at the Indianapolis 500, whatever prize is in store for the winner, if you did not first enter the race? You see, there's some entry requirements, right? That's true of any race. And the entry requirements of the race set before us have been clearly set forth in the pages of this book, the Bible, the Word of God. In the book of Mark, in chapter 16 and in verse 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In the book of Acts, in chapter 2, when folks asked, what shall we do? They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's Acts 2:38. In Acts 8, when the traveling treasurer said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Was told, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, what did he say? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And upon the confession of his faith, he commanded the chair to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Within those verses, you have the entry requirements of the race that is set before us, which involves hearing the Word of God, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized into Jesus Christ for the mission of sins. And when you've met those requirements, you now have entered the race. You're eligible to run in the race that is set before us. But let me recommend to you that once you've entered the race, you then must run. It's not enough to just enter the race. Can you imagine having entered the Indianapolis 500? Here you are at the start of the race, sitting in the automobile, excited, and your heart pounding with the adrenaline because you're getting ready to take part in the greatest spectacle in racing. And they say, "Start your engines," and the green flag is waved, and you just sit right there. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? You know, there are those who might enter the race, the greatest race of all, the race that is set before us, and they don't run. The appeal of Paul in the scripture that was read so beautifully from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is the appeal to run. He said in verse 24, "Know ye not," that is, "don't you know, that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize." What's the next two words? "So run, that ye may obtain." The appeal of Paul in two words is, "So run." And so we must run if we expect to win the prize. Let me suggest to you something else. When you think about the race that is set before us, number four, you have to run on the proper course. Now, if you're going to expect to receive the prize that is in store for the winner of the Indianapolis 500, you have to run at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, right? Suppose you had your car and you ran around another track that you had mapped out, and 2.5 miles, and you went around 500 miles, and you got to comparing your speed and your time at the end of the race with the winner, the one who came in first, and you came ahead. You beat him, and you had the fastest time, and you come over here to the prize, the ceremony where the award is handed out, and you say, "I'm here to claim my prize." They're going to give it to you? They're not going to do it, are they? Why? Because you didn't run on the proper course. You didn't run on the right track, the proper enclosure. And you and I need to recognize that the race that is set before us has to be run on the proper course, on the proper enclosure, and that is within the Lord's church. You can't run out here in some other religious body and expect to receive the prize at the end of the race. It doesn't work that way. The Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one body, which is identified in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 as the church. When Paul talked about the church, which is his body, it's the only course that is God's plan. You know, some people think that it doesn't make any difference with reference to the church, that one church is just as good as another. Well, when it comes to racing, is one track as good as another today? Could you run around another track and expect to receive the prize? No more than you could do that. Can you expect to receive the prize at the end of the race set before us if you're running elsewhere in a track or a course or an enclosure that's not God's plan? As Ephesians 3:10-11 talks about the church according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not only a God-planned course, it's a Christ-built one. In Matthew 6:10-18, Jesus said, "I'll build my church. And he's the head of it, and he's the Savior of it. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. He purchased it with his own blood. Acts 20 and verse 28. And it'll be delivered up to God. 1 Corinthians 15, 24. At the end, at Christ's coming. And so, you need to recognize that when you think about this race that's set before us, it's open to all. You got to enter it, you got to run, and you got to run on the proper course. But then there's something else that you need to remember, and that is number five, you've got to run according to the rules. Now, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, they've got some rules up there. You aware of that? They're kind of funny about that. They expect that when you run your car, you run according to the rules, and they don't mind disqualifying you from the race if you violate a rule. I've seen in the past where there have been those that you thought might win the race, but then they're disqualified because of a rule violation. And when it comes to last race, the race set before us, there are rules that must be followed. Like in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 5, when the Apostle Paul set forth the Lord's servant in various figures. He talks about him from the standpoint of one who competes as an athlete. He said in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, that is, if he competes as an athlete, yet is he not crowned except he strive, how? Lawfully. That is, he has to compete according to the rules. And so you need to be familiar with the rules, right? Suppose you're running in the Indianapolis 500 and you violate a rule and you say, wait a minute, I didn't know that. I didn't know about that. Can you plead ignorance and they excuse that and say, oh, we didn't realize you didn't know about that and so we're going to overlook that. You go right ahead. Doesn't work that way, does it? And this book, the Bible, is our rule book. As Paul said in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 16, walk by the same rule and I need to know about it. I can't be ignorant of it. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, didn't he? In John 8 and verse 32. And that requires some study and effort on my part to become familiar with the rules and to be determined to live by the rules. You know, some people don't like that idea of rules. They don't want to be in a place where there's rules. There's a restaurant that has a little slogan, no rules, just right. And some people might think, that's the church for me, a place where there's no rules, just right. Well, God has rules. He always has. Read the Old Testament. They had rules to live by, didn't they? And when they lived by the rules, they were blessed. When they didn't follow the rules, they were cursed. We've seen that in our study so vividly throughout the Old Testament. And it's true today. The Lord said, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22 and verse 14. And so you can't expect to win the prize if you don't follow the rules. How are we doing in that area today? You remember in the book of 1 Corinthians 9, which we heard read, how that Paul said, lest I should be disqualified or cast away, if Paul could be disqualified from the race set before us, then surely you and I could become disqualified as well. The next thing I want to suggest to us is the fact that when we run in the race that is set before us, we've got to do it with patience or endurance. Did you notice that word in Hebrews chapter 12? When the writer said, let us run how? With patience, the race that is set before us. You see, it takes some effort, it takes some perseverance, doesn't it, in order to finish the race. You've got to keep on keeping on. You can't let up. You've got to endure. You know, there are some who may have learned about the race. They've got the invitation, the Lord's invitation. They've entered it. And they're running. They're on the proper course. They're within the Lord's church. They're trying to follow the rules. But then they become impatient. They lack perseverance. They do pretty good for a little while, but It's kind of like Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And so, as the Lord said in Matthew 24 and verse 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so we've got to run with patience. And then finally, you've got to finish the course. You can't run around here. Okay, I've gone 498 miles. I'm just going to park my car and expect to receive the prize. You've got to finish the course, don't you? That's true of any race. And with the race that is set before us, it's not about who comes in first. It's about finishing. Finishing the course. To be able to, when we come to the end of life's race, to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, who in his final words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 would say, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me, what's laid up for you, Paul? A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He talked about a crown of righteousness in Revelation 2 and verse 10. The Lord said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. And when we heard read in 1 Corinthians 9, it's depicted as an incorruptible crown. That is, it's not subject to decay. It won't fade away. As Paul said in verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we in what? Incorruptible. You see all the effort and expense and energy that goes into securing a corruptible crown. It's just temporary, right? It's among those things that moth and rust doth corrupt. But this race that is set before us features an incorruptible crown, one that will never fade away, that is reserved in heaven. And it'll be bestowed not before and not to those who fail, but after to those who finish. And so you've got to run until the race is over. And what a joyous day that'll be when you and I are able to cross the finish line, having run with patience, perseverance, temperance, the race that is set before us, according to the rules, within the course the Lord has laid out for us within His Word, having met those entry requirements, hearing the Word, believing it, and obeying it through the repentance of our sins, confession of our faith, and being baptized into Christ. You heard about the race today. Would you enter it? Everything's been made ready that you might do that. It's not enough to have just heard about it. It's not enough to just think about it. You've got to enter it. It'll never be any easier for you than it is right now. And time is of essence. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Maybe you've entered the race. You started out running. You've done well, but you've grown weary. You've become impatient. Your perseverance isn't what it ought to be. You're sitting at the side of the track. We'd like to encourage you. We'd like to offer some words of inspiration and motivation to you today. To get up, to get going, to run with temperance and patience and perseverance the race that is set before us. You can do it. To repent of whatever it is that has separated you from God. You know, there's some races that once you have disqualified or dropped out, that's it. You can't get back in. But the Lord has a reinstatement policy. He has a plan whereby you can get back in the course, get back in the proper relationship and run again. And it involves repentance of sins and confession of wrongdoing. like Simon, who entered the race and he sinned. His heart was not right in the sight of God. He was told, repent and pray. Remember that? Acts 8:13-22. Maybe you're in that situation today. It's not too late. There's hope for you. There's help available. Would you repent? And would you ask for God's forgiveness? And we'll pray for you. So you can get back up and get running again. And run till it's all over. So that you can hear the Lord say at the end, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And that'll be a lot better than any human victory circle that you might stand in here on earth. If we can assist you today, may you come now while we stand and while we sing.